Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, we can finally say we have had one complete season that COVID hasn't ruined. And this is the end of season finale. Welcome to episode 34 of the Premier Non-League Podcast.
The Premier Non-League Podcast.
And also, every time, as we were saying off air, there are always people drop out at the last minute on the last one of the season. I think they've gone on their summer break too early. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a joke. I mean, I'm coming for you from another country and I'm tethering off my mobile. I think that's dedication, chaps.
Free transfers everywhere, I think, James.
I know. Well, Trevor's here, Gaz is here, and we're just here to sort of, I guess, celebrate the fact we had a full season. Can you believe it, guys? So in the, I guess you could say it's the third season of doing a Premier Non-League podcast, but it's the first complete season we've had as a podcast, and we haven't had to scrape the barrel or talk about Barnet for the majority of episodes.
Well, I was going to say we have completed our season though, haven't we, in each of the three. It's just football that hasn't completed itself until now.
But you know, one thing, I was talking to a couple of my mates on Charlton chat that I've got on WhatsApp, and I'm actually fuming because I miss football so much now. And if it hadn't been for the Qataris, we would have had a World Cup to look forward to, and now we ain't got that till December. So it's going to be a mismatched, misjudged football season. It's going
to be a bit of Nations League to watch.
But you say that, as we record, like yesterday, was the final for the National League. In 2 months' time, the National League kicks off again. The Step 5 and 6 kick off the very last weekend of July. So in literally 2-3 weeks' time, players are back in pre-season training.
Yeah,
so while like, for us, the season has sort of like only just finished because of how much of non-league we cover everything, you know, while others might finish on April the 23rd, it's been going on, it stopped yet.
I saw something on social media earlier that East Preston's got their trials start tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw someone had a trial game at Horsham last Wednesday as well.
Well, Trevor, I'm sure we'll go. I remember we did it pre-season at this one. We went to Arundel, I think, early or mid-July, wasn't it? Or end of July when we went
last weekend of July we went.
So hopefully we'll be able to get in a couple of county games before the big guns like Worthing in the National League start. And tonight's episode, we've got Mitch Hand, who's Littlehampton's joint manager. He's coming on to discuss Littlehampton's amazing season, because that's another club that's been promoted in the Sussex area up to Step 4. Another great achievement. Sadly, I haven't been able to go down there this season due to work commitments and stuff. But they've supported us with a podcast with a banner next to the pitch. So it's only right that we go and support them, and hopefully something will sort of match up and we can have a little... We haven't had our end-of-season curry we kept talking about, so we have to have a pre-season game or something, won't we?
Pre-season curry,
and we can all wear our shirts. Well, Gaz said his son wears his shirt, doesn't he?
My shirt looks like a crop top, and nobody wants to see that. In fact, my son wears a shirt as a pyjama top, so he's repping it every time he goes to bed.
And I guess we'll get onto it. If anyone's a new listener, because they saw Trev wearing it at the National League final, National League Finals Day, they call? Is that what The Non-League Finals Day at Wembley, and Pete wore it at the Dorking playoff final. So if anyone is here, Pete can't be here to welcome you because he can't be bothered to turn up. But, you know, well, that's another thing. We're just ribbing him. He's got some family commitments on tonight. But hopefully we've got some new listeners, because one thing we have to say, I think, over the course of the season, we have judged it on Facebook posts, but our interactions and sort of have got bigger and bigger every week. So people that are sharing, people that are interacting with the post, people that are even listening, we've managed to find our listing figures. It's quite hard because it's all mismatched over Google, like Spotify, Apple. What we're probably going to do next season is join a new platform where we'll be able to take all the listening figures and we'll know what we do every week without having to log on to about 50 different websites and trying to guesstimate how many we're getting. But it is getting bigger and bigger, and you know, this is it's been another great season for us guys. And you know, I think it leads on. What would your highlights be this season? What would you say?
Mine would have been a completed season for everybody. I don't know.
But surely you could say, Trev, about, like, you know, you finally getting your sort of break with the, like, you've always been in and around the local press, but being sort of Littlehampton's correspondent for a lot of their run, this must have been a great achievement for yourself on a personal level.
Yeah, it's been nice to get my name out there as well in, like you say, in the local press, because of Littlehampton have done so well this year in winning the three trophies and getting to Wembley. And some of it I've put myself forward for, and other times actually the Gazette editor Steve Bones actually messaged and said, are you going? Can you do something? I don't get paid for that. That's just for putting my name out there and stuff like that. But yeah, it's nice to be recognised, especially as it got closer to Wembley and the semi-final, quarter-finals as well, to get, you know, they're actually having a conversation and I'm being asked to do stuff rather than, you know, oh, actually, I'm going. Do you want something? You know, something slightly different.
No, it's a great achievement. And obviously, if you want to read more of Trevor's ramblings on the non-league football world, he is obviously the sponsor with
footballwriting.co.uk.
Co.uk now. Yeah, keep on forgetting.
Oh, see how often you read it.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Highlight-wise, to be fair, I don't know, really. I mean, 61 games I saw last year at all levels, starting with you at Arundel back in July, as we said. And I'd love to say it actually finished at Wembley, but it didn't. It finished at Culver Lancer. Road, watching Littlehampton win another trophy. And I think out of those 61 games, I think I've watched Littlehampton 15 times. Does help it's only a couple of minutes walk, or it was a 5 minute drive from the other side of town. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I've been National League right the way down to step six, I think, this year. No, one step seven game, I think. Yeah, one step seven game. So
you met me at a step seven game.
Yeah. So yeah, I've covered everywhere. Wherever I've been, Chesterfield, I think it's the furthest north I've managed to go this year, but I haven't been to Dover, been to Eastleigh, been to Wroxham. So yeah, I've Hungerford. I've spread out a little bit.
No, but it's just pure like love of non-league. Obviously, you know, myself with the highlights got to be worth it. Obviously, getting the promotion, you cannot beat that. Like whatever happens, that it's a disappointment we didn't win any more trophies. You know, got beaten by a very good Brighton under 23 side at the Amex, and we got knocked out of the League Cup, which we shouldn't have, to Hayward Heath, but fair play to them. And the eventual winners, Horsham. We didn't get to the 100 points, which our manager Adam Hinchwood so desperately wanted, but we got 97 and 100 goals. And I think to do that for the third year on a trot after 2 years of real upset and heartbreak, it's been pretty amazing achievement. But I would say if it wasn't for that, I probably would have been able to get to some more other teams, other games, but we do try. But, you know, being able to follow Worthing up and down the country, I say the most northerly I probably went was Haringey, something like that, Haringey. No, I didn't go Bishops, actually. Oh, no, I didn't go Chester this year. Went a couple of years ago. It might be Potter's Bar. Is that the furthest north? Potter's Bar,
yeah,
would you say?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit further north than Haringey, isn't it? So, And the furthest south would probably be Bognor, if you want to say that. It's like, we're kind of the furthest south. You can't really get any more south than Worthing, can you? Unless we're going southwest.
No. Well, when you go southwest next year, you got Chippenham, you got Bath, you know, a little bit further out.
Yeah.
Truro?
A little bit further. Is it Truro? Yeah, or Taunton? No, Taunton.
Did Truro go up in the end?
Or was it Taunton?
Taunton would definitely come up because they won the Southern League.
Yeah, so quite a few journeys that are a bit further than Essex, yeah. But they might be, as we say, like football weekend night stops or something like that. For
overnight stays.
Yeah, overnighters keep the Worthing boys at play. Gareth, what would you say a highlight of yours is? I mean, obviously you've got more steady internet now, so that's pretty much a highlight.
That's a good highlight. I think it started off, obviously, right at the beginning, joining you guys. That was good, but...
Oh, yeah, you replaced the Yank.
Yeah, not quite as many games as Trev, but I think I still managed around 45 games this season, which, great thanks to the wife, because obviously I wouldn't be able to do it if she wasn't looking after the child. But and then I think seeing Worthing get promoted was a big one for me. Obviously, Worthing, born and bred, watched them for 20 years, then finally to reach one of their goals was nice to see that. And I think I saw the trophy celebration. I think I saw the last game of the season as well, last home game of the season. I saw a few towards the end of the season after I stopped gallivanting around with Trev. But yes, like same as Trev, I've seen games in the National League right down to Step 7. So spent a lot of time at the beginning of the year, beginning of the season, watching Step 7. That's the majority of my games, just purely because I had a friend that does all the match day announcing and stuff at that Step 7 game. But yeah, it's been a great season. Try and get to 50 next season.
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. I'd say if we say highlights, you've got to say lowlights. I think for me, like, I haven't really had any lowlights in... I'd like to have done a bit better in the cup competitions because that's always fun and brings money into club. But I think in terms of lowlights, it's just sort of continual week in, week out, we're having to talk about racism and like fighting and just crowd behaviour. And we've mentioned it before. Is it because COVID has got people hepped up and waiting to release anger, which I think it possibly is? Because I notice, as you guys know, I work in customer facing role. We find it at work. So a lot of times now people are more argumentative, even over the most littlest of things. And is it all hepped up because of COVID? But I just hope that next season, it's kind of everyone's got it out of their system a bit, because even like we've seen in the like in the Football League, people going on the pitch and attacking players, you know. So why are they attacking players when they're celebrating a victory? Like, why was there any need? Like, wasn't it the Man City game when they won the league? Who were they playing?
Villa.
Villa and their goalkeeper got attacked for no reason. It's not like they were Man United, but I mean, there's no excuse anyway. But these idiots going up and smacking him around the head, like, what for what reason?
I think people have just forgotten how to behave around other people, because there've been a lot of people were shut away for so long, living in their own company or the company of the people in their own household. They've forgotten what it's like to actually interact with other human beings, almost caveman mentality in some respects. And some of these pitch invasions have been absolutely shocking, I think is the right word for it. Even, you know, I think the best one I actually saw was Chesterfield against Halifax in the playoffs that Chesterfield won. And Chesterfield didn't actually get onto the pitch, the fans. Everywhere else I've seen, the stewards been lackadaisical, even in places where I've seen afterwards that they knew what was going to happen. They hadn't planned for it. You just think, you know, having seen what's gone on in such a short space of time as well, it's almost thrown back to the 70s.
Do we think it's also because of there's a little bit more interest in non-league football right now with, you know, it's sadly, and it's not just, but it's a lot of the younger fans that are maybe at the later end of their teenage years, sort of their college student age, and they've watched too many Danny Dyer films the night before, thinking they're going to go and smash up West Ham or something like that. But even Littlehampton, throughout their thing, have had a few problems with fans being silly and with flares and stuff. I mean, at this level, flares are probably a big... Well, they're no-no anyway, but flares on plastic pitches are just... They ruin them. They can cause thousands of pounds of damage to a club that can't afford. And it just seems no end of it. And I really, really hope next season it's not going to sort of start really polluting non-league football.
Yeah, I think there's something to do with the accessibility of tickets in the Premier League, forcing fans who want to watch football but are the wrong type that we don't necessarily want. Prime example is when Enfield came down to Worthing and there was a riot van outside, three police cars, police turned up at half time. And I heard rumours then that it was a lot of Spurs fans who couldn't necessarily go to a Spurs game but were just tagging on with the Enfield fans to cause a bit of trouble. So I don't know whether... That's what I've heard from speaking to people.
I think they've got a few saucy characters around Enfield Football Club anyway. I think they've had a bit of history over the years.
There's a few clubs you can level that at, though, where professional clubs attach on to non-league. It's been that's gone on for years, and a lot of it goes unnoticed because there ain't enough of a travelling support or home support of a game to make it kind of a bit of an issue. But say this year, it just seems to have come to the fore a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As you say, I think it is that, Gaz, I completely agree, like the cost of football higher up. As you know, and my friends know around the Worthing area, like, you know, one of the reasons what attracted me so much to start following Worthing was the fact that I could go down at the time and get change for 20 quid for a tenner to get in, a couple of beers and a burger, and you sorted. But now, I mean, it's got prices gone up and it'll go up again next season because we've risen through the leagues, which is fair enough. And, you know, as Pete and I spoke to the chairman of Worthing in our Red Bull Yale podcast, and he was saying, like, a lot of clubs that average on National South £14, but quite a few are pushing £15. And I think he said something like an extra pound for the whole season, although it doesn't sound like much, it's worth something like another 10 grand to the club or something over the course of a season. So it's whether he said, we want to get that extra player that might fire us up the league, or do we stick it at 14 and, you know, we might not push as much as we are. So it's a level that, you know, even a lot of fans that supported Worthy for a very long time, you know, might be start getting priced out of the game because they can't afford that extra few quid. But that's unfortunately sometimes what happens when clubs want to progress.
It's a fine balance. Go on.
No, go on, guys. Go on.
I was going to say, it's a fine balancing act, isn't it, between raising the prices and keeping your fan base happy. I think £14 for that league is probably acceptable, just. But you want to make sure, and obviously, for Worthing going up, it's a case of making sure that if you're charging that a little bit extra, you want to see the performance on the pitch reflect that. Mm. Obviously, you don't know how you're going to perform necessarily within the league. I hope, beyond all hope, that they do well. But I think you've got to make sure, if you're putting the prices up, that there's clear and obvious investment within the playing squad to really challenge.
Yeah, don't talk to me about pricing.
I know, not your beloved Barnett.
But it's also about, like, if they put it out to 15 quid, 40, 50 quid, are we still going to be getting those levels of over 1,000, 1,500 next season? That's the thing. Or is it going to put some people off slightly?
I think you'll still get over 1,000. I think if what you'll find is it may drop off. The first couple of games, you'll probably get the decent crowds. Might drop off a little bit. But if performances reflect the value for money, then I don't think that'd be any problem. I think 14, 15 quid would be perfectly acceptable. I'd still pay it.
And I think it's not just what's on the pitch, though. It's your match day experience as well. Yeah. Can you get beer? Can you get food? Is it good? Is it accessible? You know, can I still see the players in the bar afterwards, or are they shipped off to a completely different bar or whatever? That's the sort of thing that is people are looking at, as well as, you know, what it costs for them to go in. Extra quid might mean nothing, but if they get in and the beer's as watery as anything and the burgers are half cooked, that then puts people off, and that's when your numbers start to drop a little bit.
I think Worthing will do well to source a new burger, for want of a better expression. I think the food at football has become massive in the last season.
Well, it has for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, but for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, with like Footy Scran.
Yeah, Footy Scran, yeah.
I think,
but it's a good way of promotion, isn't it?
Yeah,
you'll get absolutely.
The game, just if you get five people a game going just to try your burger, that's an extra, like, what, at 15 quid, that's an extra 75 quid entry on your ticket. Do you know what I mean?
I was watching a bunch of amateurs last night, and they were interviewing Crouchy because it was a Dulwich episode. And he said he's just had a burger, and he said it was really nice. And apparently the guy from Bunch of Amateurs said to Crouchy, Mark went to Hungerford, saw their burger, went back to Dorking, and they upped their game based on Mark's experience at Hungerford.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because I did, obviously, doing the podcast with Pete, we got quite a close relationship with, like, sort of board members of the club, Barry the chairman and stuff. And I have said to him, I said, look, we're on the seaside. Why not do something different, like a fish burger or something like that, you know, like a battered fish burger, something like different, you know.
Yeah,
something. He goes, it's quite a good, but it's something like Worthing Seaside, you know, like have a fish burger, like with mushy peas on it or something like that, or something ridiculous, you know, something that's going to stand out, that you'll get people going on social media and draw a bit of attention. Because I said to him, I said, the fair does need to improve. I mean,
our seafood, like, little thingy, you know,
platter or something.
Just like even if it's outside the ground, like you say, it's something different and it makes it noticeable, and actually that's what gets people talking about it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he has said the match day experience they know needs to change, as you guys have been there when it's been really busy. You know, people do get annoyed, they get peed off that they can't get a beer. Like, you know, half time's 15 minutes, as we know. Sometimes you can't get a beer at all in that time, or anywhere near the front, or let alone go to the toilet. So over the last sort of few games, they installed a couple of portaloos around the ground, which is obviously a help, a temporary fix at that. They have admitted there are plans to do another bar in the ground, but it's just, it's, I think it's the management. I think as quite a few of my friends have said at Worthing, there's almost too many beer choices during a match. Like, you know, you only need like a lager, have one or two lagers at max and an ale. That's all you need, really. You don't need to have a Guinness, Coors, Bud Light, Budweiser, Beck's, because then, you know, there's just too many choices. And as you know, Guinness, to pour it properly, you need to let it settle. And like, if you getting a load of people buying Guinnesses, it's like, have them after and before the game, but during the match, only limit the selection.
Yeah.
I think it would work wonders. But it's going to be interesting because it was a high league. Away teams are going to bring more there. And you don't want to start getting a reputation of, oh, I can't be asked to go to Worthing anymore because the queues are too big, and you know, which would be a detriment to the club.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
But talking about promotion going on, we've obviously had the National League playoffs. They're all finished, as we know. The season's completely done and dusted. And the Hollywood Megabucks are staying in the National League. Obviously, we have no longer on the podcast, but Ian, our former podcast host, he had a soft spot for some reason for Wrexham. We always gave him a stick for it. And, you know, we like to be fair to all national, sorry, non-league clubs here. We're not one bias. You know, we do support our own clubs and stuff. But I did chuckle a little bit that Wrexham had been promoted, because I did really think that McKelvey and what's his name?
Ryan Reynolds.
They I think they thought they'd blow it out of the water, and it hasn't happened. So what's next?
Yeah, he had a bad week, didn't he, Ryan? Lost the trophy final and then lost in the playoffs.
The best bit, I remember messaging you, Trevor, I think I put it in the group, when they don't know what the offside rule is and they're all celebrating like they've scored or something.
Yeah,
like,
bless them. Like, bloody yanks. No offside in American football, though, is there? It's such a difficult one out, how you want to look at it. From the point of view of a National League fan at Barnet, I'd much rather they disappeared, because they're going to invest again next season. They've already got a squad that's good enough, but they were, you know, well and truly matched by Grimsby and beaten. But they're going to be favourites next year, simple as that. And you're playing catch up for that other promotion place, realistically, you know, behind them. At the same time, I'm glad it shows that money doesn't buy you success, you know. And the players, you know, I saw Paul Mullin at Wembley, didn't think too much of him, to be honest. And the playoff game against Grimsby, he scored a couple of times, but for $4,500 a week, sorry, but I was expecting him to hit the net at least twice every game. His, you know, shot to goal ratio should be, you know, way up in the 90%. That's surely what $4,500 pays you for. But, you know, the playoffs themselves have been absolutely superb, from the eliminators all the way through. They've been so, so good. You know, culminating in the final on Sunday, and Grimsby beating Solihull again. Absolutely cracking game. And at times it was so open, you know, that could have finished 5-4 quite comfortably. You know, but fair play to Grimsby. Not often a side gets back at the first attempt. I think it's the fifth club only in the last 20-odd years, I think it is, that have gone straight back up after coming down. So that shows again how difficult it's becoming, you know, to get out of the National League at the right end.
Yeah, 100% fair play to them. But I did kind of want Solihull to go up for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, you know, another a side that's not played in the Football League before, but like Forest Green a couple of years ago and Harrogate as well. It's nice, but because of the not getting the three up, three down at the moment, there's such a bottleneck in that top bit of Football League clubs that you get clubs like Dorking, Maidstone, York coming back. Two of those have played Football League themselves before, but, you know, they're streets behind the clubs that finished in the top seven this year, and somehow they've got to compete next year.
Yeah, as you say, it's almost, we've said it before in here, it's almost like becoming a sort of League Three, isn't it? With the sort of, you know, the teams up there. And, you know, as we know, no team's not big enough to be relegated down into the non-league system. I mean, we could touch on that. I mean, look at that semi-final Wrexham played, 5-4. What game that was. I mean, I found them so much more exciting than the EFL playoffs. But the one thing that was disappointing, you knew we were kind of touch on it, was the price of the final tickets. What were the National League thinking? But what was it, the National League? Because I saw Vanarama gave a grant to each club. So why are they then giving grants to each club? Or is it West Ham or the London Stadium's owner that are charging them that amount of money that they need to make up the numbers? Or
okay, so you want to go first?
I don't know much about it. I was really knocked because I was actually, whether Trev's going or not, I was actually thinking of just jumping in my car, driving somewhere near there and going to watch the game. And I saw the price of tickets and went, nah, not going to do that.
What was the cheapest? £42
£43.99, I think it was.
Yeah, because didn't they? And then they cheekily charge a delivery fee of 99p or something, despite that you've got to print it at home in your own printer.
Yeah. So did Wembley for the non-league finals day as well.
Why? Like, why not just incorporate it in the price?
Mm. Yeah.
It's an insult.
I was really disappointed because I haven't been to a game since, I think it was Littlehampton's RUR semi-final in Hassocks.
That was the end of April, yeah.
At the end of April. Mm. I think that was the last game I went to. I was after Worthing's trophy. Yeah, so I think, and I was sort of thinking, oh, I'll try and squeak one more in before the end of the season. So £20, £25, I probably have paid it. £44 for the cheapest is shocking. I can't. And hats off to the people that did go. But from my understanding, each set of fans was given an allocation of 25,000 tickets. I don't know how many was there, but I'm guessing there wasn't 50,000 there.
22,897.
So they didn't even sell out one set of allocation.
No, but you wouldn't at that price, would you?
I put money on it. In fact, I put £43 on it that if those tickets were 25, 30 quid maximum, there'd probably have been another 5,000-10,000 people there. It was unlikely that there was going to be any teams from London in it. Everyone was going to have to travel. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Right, so just putting it here, Grimsby, they charge £20 normally to get in.
Yeah.
Standard National League, I'd say. Shouldn't be
65 and over 13, 18, 22, 13. So, I'm not surprised that people can't afford, because it's not just because Grimsby is that northeast, is it?
Yorkshire, on the coast.
How can people that spend that are going to have to get all the way down to London? I mean, Solihull Moors were £15 a ticket, so they were even cheaper. Just seeing here,
they're £15 a ticket. I was just trying to find that.
You can't justify you really prices, can't.
Adults £15.
So that's nearly three times their normal ticket price.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess a lot of the fans that went were season ticket holders and already paid their £200-300 or whatever it is, £400 in Barnett's case, but £200-300 for their season ticket. And they're going to pay nearly another 25% on top of that for one game.
Yeah. And the fact as well, West Ham, half the lower tier was missing. So, and they weren't allowing concessions in the top tier. So once the lower tier sold out for both clubs, then in the top tier, you're asking kids and over 65s to pay £40. Absolutely outrageous.
For a pitch that's 42 miles away.
Yeah. The National League board put that together and think, yeah, that's acceptable. Where you can pay £25 to go and watch two games at Wembley the week before. Even the Championship cheapest ticket was about £4 or £5 cheaper than what the National League one was. But I just don't, it's like, with a lot of things in price at the moment, live in the real world, because...
Well, also seeing here, like saying, apparently away games in the Premier League, ticket prices are capped at £30 now.
They are, yeah, yeah.
So why the hell think they could do that? And the fact that in 2018, 2019, it was 36 and 41, which even then is extortionate.
Mm.
But, to be charging £45 pretty much, let's just say, to go and see. And I'm sure Grimsby fans won't be caring about the cost anymore. But the fact the National League have to issue statements and their charities having to get involved to help pay, it's just crazy.
Well, yeah, when a sponsor stumps up £20,000 each and both clubs raised a tremendous amount of money each to allow their fans to travel down on coaches, which is great for them. Why should they be doing that? You're the league governing body, It's no good coming out afterwards and going, oh, we'll learn about it and implement something better last year. Could have done it this year. Could quite easily have done it. But, chosen greed over everything else. And, you know, this crappy statement that money goes back to member clubs. Well, Grimsby ain't going to care about that because they're no longer a member club in a couple of weeks' time when the AGM's held.
But yeah. Also, Mark Ives said that it was a decrease on last year, and I'm seeing comments, no, rubbish, last year was 41 quid.
That's rubbish.
But why is he lying? Has he had COVID and it's affected his brain?
God knows. Maybe he's come from the Jack Pierce school of quotes.
Numbers, or the Diane Abbott number crunching school. But you know, they need to learn, because it shouldn't. Non-league is non-league for a reason, and yeah, it's a playoff final. It is at a glitzy little stadium in London. But the thing is they shouldn't be charging that amount of money. Bottom line, you know, they could. They said this is what I don't understand. Sometimes I ain't a businessman. I'll probably be a crap businessman. But surely, if they had a ticket at 30 quid, then they'd have got another 10, 15, 20,000 on top of that, and they would have made more money anyway. So it makes no sense.
No, comfortable. I mean, you know, like Gaz, a lot of neutrals I know on Twitter would have gone had the price been something sensible. Not one of them I know went yesterday because of the price of it. It's like, no thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't able to go, but again, if I had been around, I like Gaz, I would have been like, why would I go as a neutral up there? Yeah. I'm going to see a gig there in a couple of weeks' time. I'll go and see the stadium then. I'd rather see that and see a few bands on than watch that. But it's not acceptable. I mean, Trev, how much are we going to do? We're going to talk about the non-league finals day. But how much did you pay for your ticket to see two games there?
25 quid.
There you go. Two games. The Vars final and the trophy final. You saw basically one of the teams that was in the playoff run in the National League. And you saw Bromley, who deservedly won that day. And you saw, obviously, Littlehampton and Newport Pagnell as local team. Two games of football, 25 quid. Mm. A good day out. You saw some people. It was a decent attendance. That's what it should be. 25 quid, 30 quid max.
I think how many
were at the final, non-league finals day? What was the total attendance?
46,211. It's the second best ever.
There we go.
Non-league finals day.
I think it's been over 40,000 the few times that we've been as well, the total combined.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both Vars sides sold nigh on about 7,000 each. It's 14,000 just between those two. Wrexham, you were obviously going to get a good support. Bromley as well, because they took about 20,000 to the final, I think it was three, four years ago. So they took 15 again in the end. So when you've got two well-supported teams, but you could have picked probably all of the top seven that were in the National League this year, and you would have brought 10 to 15,000 to non-league finals day. So they would easily have replicated that themselves, you know, probably double over at a sensible ticket price for the National League playoff final.
Mm. Yeah. It is crazy. And that's the thing, like, you know, obviously, as you see the clubs going up the league, you're going to have to get used to stumping up a little bit more for ticket prices. But to be doing that's ridiculous.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But anyway, back to sort of good times. It wasn't the best time for one of our local sides, Littlehampton Town, who got to the Vars final against Newport Pagnell. Trevor, you were there. You had a great day out. But also, who was there is someone that's about to join us now, is Mitch Hand, the joint manager of Littlehampton. And he sat down with us to talk about Littlehampton's amazing season. Mitch, good to have you on the Premier Non-League podcast end of season episode. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for having me.
No, I think it's a little bit of recognition of what an amazing season you've had. Just how has it been overall? Like, if you could sum it up in one word. Probably more than one word, isn't there?
Yeah, it's been unique, I'd say, is the word. I mean, it's been nice actually to have a couple of weeks off where you can actually sit back and reflect, because the last couple of months of the season was just chaos. It was every single game. It was so heavy. every single game was a semi or a final or a league decider, and at the time we didn't even have a moment to look back on what we were doing. It was just rolling into the next game, rolling into the next massive game, and to actually have a couple of weeks to then have a look at what we've done. It was really unique and quite unbelievable when I look back on it. Some of the huge things that happened, I haven't even got any proper recollection. It just rolled into one.
Looks like you had a sort of exciting time in the last couple of weeks, Mitch, because from social media, I think you and the lads went away on a bit of a team bonding. Whereabouts did you end up?
Oh, it was amazing, mate. We went to Malaga, and 24 of us went. And as you can imagine, it was very, very messy, but it was brilliant. It was such a good way to end a unique season. I mean, you'd rarely get 24 blokes go on a stag do together. To have the whole squad, minus, I think, two, it was a really, really good way to end the season. Like I said, where things have got so heavy towards the end of the season, it was hard to enjoy it, really. But to have that little bit of time to just be boys and just enjoy yourself was class.
100%. Well, we for the people that don't know much about Littlehampton, we can tell you won the treble this year. You won the league, obviously step five, and going into step four for the first time. Am I right in thinking?
Yeah.
First time in that you won the League Cup and you won the RUR. So a nice little treble. And you were finalist at the FA Vars at Wembley, which, to be honest, must have been like a dream come true.
Yeah, it was. I still struggle with that one because I look back on it with a little bit of regret, a little bit of remorse. But on a whole, for the whole season itself is just, you wouldn't have been able to write it at the beginning of the season for the situation that we were in. We lost our manager 3 weeks before the season started. So to end the season the way we did was crazy. But looking back on the Wembley experience, the experience up to the game was amazing, but the game itself was painful. So it's a bit of a difficult, one to sum up. A losing experience at Wembley is really, really tough, but all in all, it was amazing. I can't complain too much.
Would you swap the three trophies for a win at Wembley?
No, I wouldn't. Do you know why? I wouldn't, because for me, local pride matters to me more than anything.
Yeah.
And to know that you're the best side, not even just locally in the Arran area, but in the Sussex County League, for me is massive. And we won it for Littlehampton, I think, 6 years ago. And at that time, I was young and naive, and I assumed that we'd win it every year. And then to go through the setbacks we did, relegation, to win it again really felt like redemption for me. It was massive. So, no, I genuinely wouldn't.
I'm glad you said that, because obviously a Wembley experience is still a Wembley experience at the end of the day, isn't it? Like, I'm guessing it must have been magical to walk out when there's no fans there, just to walk out when you first arrive at the stadium and stand on that hallowed turf. As a male, growing up, wanted to be a professional footballer. Obviously, my physique doesn't allow for that. But it was always been a dream to sort of step out of Wembley. So I'm guessing a lot of dreams were ticked off that day, regardless of the result.
Yeah, mate, to be honest, just being there was surreal. It was really surreal. And to sit, it was the little details that just threw me, like seeing an interview I was doing on the big screen and seeing the boys' names being read out on the big screen. And then as you actually walk out into the ground, I can only assume from a player's point of view, it's how Wembley looks when it's full, because you can only see the bottom tier. And the bottom tier was absolutely packed to the rafters. So you go out there and before you know it, you're looking at sort of, I don't know how many was there, 15,000 odd fans. And it was just crazy. And the whole experience of it was just so manic. I remember getting pushed out of the changing room. And you've got all the guys on the microphones ready to go, and they push you out. And before you know it, you're walking out into that pitch in front of all them fans. You've got the fireworks going up. Yeah. I didn't have a clue where I was walking. I was just wandering around like that. I may look like I knew what I was doing. I was very much faking it. I was walking out and just, I thought, I don't know what I'm doing here. But it was incredible. The whole thing was amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I missed it. I was in Fuerteventura and... tried several times and lots of different ways to try and get hold of the game, but I did miss it, I'm afraid.
It's all right, Mitch. The best of us were there anyway.
Here he goes.
Yeah, the real ones. Journo. The real ones.
Mitch, obviously, we'll touch on it. You said it was, you look back on with a bit of regret after the game. What sort of, it's obviously hard to say from an outside point of view, but what do you think went wrong that day? Because obviously the run up to Wembley and everything you've been doing in the league, do you think the event almost got to them?
I think it did, and a couple of the boys were really honest about it, and it was quite refreshing after to have a couple of them say, look, I just almost froze in the moment. And it was a couple of our big players that have been really good for us all season. So in that way, you really can't knock them, because on the whole, I mean, they've been amazing, these players. And then, like, for me, you think to yourself, how would I react on the pitch as a player? It was really difficult to tell because the conditions were hard. The start of the game was strange. And then we had the injury to George, which really took the wind out of our sails. But there's a lot of things I would have done differently. The way they set up was brilliant, to be fair to them. I spoke to their manager after the game, and they had the luxury of watching three of our games when their season had finished. So they actually changed the way they were going to play before they played us, which threw me a little bit. Tactically, so there's plenty of things I would do different, but again, like I said, looking back on it, do you know what, on the day there was no real complaints. They were much better than us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had the experience, and as we say, at least you've gone the treble, and I guess you can look forward to next season going up to step four for the first time in the Isthmian South East Division. Am I right in saying?
Yeah.
What's the plans? Like, are you, I mean, obviously you're not going to go up to make up the numbers, but are you guys planning to go for step three, or are you planning to sort of sustain yourself in step four first and, you know, a few years down the line, push for that promotion? What's the sort of planning been this pre-season?
There's so much work that needs to be done to the ground just to compete at step four. So the club got their hands full big time. So if we told them we were going for promotion, I think they'd probably sack us. So But yeah, no, for the club, it's very much about sustaining. A lot of the players we've got have never played that level. A lot of them are good enough, more than good enough. And I think the key thing for me and George is just to focus on keeping the group that we've got and adding in the areas where we're going to need to add. But for me, I'm really happy with the group we've got. And I genuinely think we played a few teams from step four in cup competitions, and we more than held our own. So I think the boys will really thrive in that league. And I haven't really got an expectation of like sort of league positions, but I'd like to think that we would give most teams in that league a good game. And then you just see where we go. We've got the luxury of almost being underdogs in that league, which always suits us. So to go in there with nothing to lose is, It's quite a nice feeling, going from obviously being expected to win every single game. The boys have got a little bit less pressure. So, do you know what? I'm just really excited to give it a go, play against new teams, go to new grounds. I can't wait for it.
That's the thing. I mean, and one thing you've got the advantage of, which hopefully the numbers sustain, is the amount of support that the club had during the cup run and, you know, towards the end of the season. Even if a fraction of that amount can turn up, you're going to trump any other team in that league, especially now that Hastings have gone out of the league and they've gone up to step three. You're going to have a lot of support. So that would also be a point to help the boys push along and work their way up the table.
Definitely. I think I don't feel it slowing down as well. Trevor know as well, like the support and the little community that we've got now. What really showed is after the Vars final, we played on the Wednesday night in the final against Saltdean. And I think there was about 800 there. And I would genuinely say about 750 were Littlehampton. Yeah, and to get that after the disappointment and only 3 days after the Vars, for them people who have spent their money going to Wembley to then come out and support us again on a Wednesday night, that for me was the real, that moment where I thought, this isn't just a flash in the pan. I think we've genuinely got this now. And as long as we can obviously keep giving them something to cheer about and be proud about, they'll keep coming, I'm sure of it. And I think we'll get some really, really big crowds next year. And I think you're right. I think that really pushed the boys on. I think we'll take a lot of teams in that league by surprise. And I don't mind that. I really don't mind that at all.
Well, you'd be looking on. I've seen on plenty of social media, like even some friends of mine that live locally to Littlehampton, they've even said, I caught the bug. I'll definitely be back next season. And hopefully something of what's happened at Worthing, who the club that I follow closely down the road, obviously from you guys, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the attendance has just gradually built up to what it is now to push the club to the step two now. But hopefully we can see that at Littlehampton, because as you can probably agree with me and Trev and Gaz on here, Sussex football this season has been amazing. And like to continue it, I think it just shows what a great county we have.
Mate, I said it about halfway through the season. I couldn't believe, like, Hastings were flying, Worthing were flying, we were doing well. I just couldn't believe how much it took off. And then to see not only the performances and the results, but to see the crowds growing as well. It was just incredible to see. And it's interesting you say about Worthing. Me and George have tried to use Worthing as a little bit of a model. George is good friends with Hinch. Hinch's son plays for our Littlehampton youth teams. And we've said about how important it is to try and get that support through the youth. So we've looked at Worthing a lot about how can we get more kids into the ground. Kids bring their parents, kids bring their friends, and it just generates such a good atmosphere at the club. So that's something that we've looked at a lot. And to get that connection with the youth, a bit like what Worthing have done, it really sort of, it creates a buzz in the ground. And it did it for our cup games, and it was brilliant. And that carried on to the league. So, yeah, like I said, I can't see it slowing down. Fingers crossed.
Well, obviously, us at the PNLP, we got a little soft spot, Trev, more than some of us at, for Littlehampton. You had our banner at the end of the season, so we're very, very thankful for you for displaying it, and hope we've got a few more listeners. But obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on you guys next season, and wish you the very best. Please come back sometime throughout the season, so we'd love to hear how your Step 4 experience is going. And I'm sure I'll be down there next season. I'm sure I can be with Trev and Gaz sometime, and it'll be really good to see you, mate, and meet you in person. But thanks for coming on, spending a bit of time here. Once again, congratulations to you and the guys for an amazing season. You know, we've been so proud to call you a Sussex club, and everyone's been behind you. So just well done, mate, and we look forward to seeing you next season.
Good man. Anytime, mate. Anytime.
Are you PNLP?
Trev, it was so disappointing, obviously, to not see Littlehampton finalise and win that trophy. Gaz has gone. We'll see you later, Gaz. Is he
letting the cat in?
There you go. Is that what the meows is? That's what his excuse is. Disappointing, but a great experience to see Littlehampton at Wembley.
Yeah, definitely. It's so hard to say that you can be disappointed because they've won three trophies. You know, beginning of a season, you ask any non-league manager up and down the country, would you have taken what Littlehampton had this year? They'd have bitten your hand off. Absolutely. It's been, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan. I'm not a supporter. It's just where I've lived for the last 17 years. It's the town team. And as I've called it, writing all year, it's a story that wants another page written, and another page. It just kept going the whole season through. It's been phenomenal, and I don't think it's something that I'll see again, especially not a team getting to Wembley, because that is few and far between. I mean, I think it's 618 teams set out in the Vars in September to make the final. Absolutely phenomenal. As you know, as Mitch said as well, they've got such a good group of players that are great mates on and off the pitch. I spoke to quite a few of them before the Vars. I speak to two or three of them quite regularly as well anyway. And, you know, that's exactly what it is. And I hope next year they, you know, give it a decent go. And, you know, as Mitch said, I think they will surprise a few teams, especially with the support they get off the pitch as well. Not a lot of teams to be as well supported as them.
It's like Gaz said, like, to him, he said, would you have taken the win at Wembley for in replacement of the other three trophies? And, you know, quite rightly he said no, because he's a local guy, he's a town, obviously, what's happened for the town. And I think, to be honest, an achievement at Wembley is amazing. You know, you'd love to win a cup final, but if it means your team not getting promoted, I know what I'd rather, because, you know, you want a better level of football, you want a high level. There'll be opportunities again, as you said, very unlikely that they'll get there. You know, if they did it back-to-back, it'd be amazing in the trophy, because they're now seeing the trophy, but that brings a lot more bigger teams to face. But it was great for the town, as we said, plenty of times this season. You know, it's been an amazing season for Sussex football.
Yeah, Hazel actually did an article for the Littlehampton Gazette as part of the Vars build-up. You had Littlehampton, you know, winning promotion, and they'd only won one cup by then. Worthing had got promoted. Hastings had got promoted. Horsham had won a cup. Eastbourne Borough had made the playoffs. Haywards Heath had made the playoffs. You know, fantastic achievement for Sussex, you know, all the way through. There's bits at every single level you could, you know, almost take in. I think the only thing they're really missing is either, you know, another Football League club or, you know, National League top division club is the only thing that's missing for Sussex at the moment.
Yeah, well, hopefully one of those teams in red are going that way very soon, we'd like to think. But we move on to the sort of trophy final. Was it a good final? Did you enjoy it? I mean, it was only had one goal in it, but it was obviously for Bromley, which we were all quite happy about. Were they deserved winners, would you have said?
I think if Wrexham had taken a chance, which they should have done, they should have been in front possibly by a couple of goals. Don't take chances, you don't win games. But what I like between the two games is you get the honest endeavour of the players at step 5 and 6 in the Vars final. You know, players that play in at a stadium they're really unlikely to feature at ever again. And then you get to the trophy final and it becomes that a little bit more tactical. There's a lot more awareness. The touch is obviously sharper because they're, you know, professional outfits 9 times out of 10. And you just get that difference between the two games that you wouldn't get anywhere else because you don't get to like that, you know, to see through the rest of the season. But, you know, Bromley took their chance well. They, you know, they defended their one goal lead as well. You know, and probably it made up for what's probably been a bit of a tailed off disappointing season for them.
And you said you think Andy Woodman, if it hadn't been for the trophy final, he may not have been the manager, but the trophy win, I guess, gives him a little bit of time to sort of redeem again next season, hopefully build for Bromley.
Yeah, 3-year contract. I think him and Alan Dunn signed a week ago, at least 2 years, but I'm sure it's 3. So, yeah, he's been linked with jobs in the Football League.
Gillingham, wasn't he?
That was last year. Yeah, he was linked with AFC Wimbledon and it was Crawley Town, I think, who've known Kevin Betsy today as their new manager. But his head's always going to be turned, I think. And, you know, again, depending on how they start next year, you know, that 3-year contract or 2-year contract might mean not much to the piece of paper it's written on.
Mm. It's like you said, like heads can be turned. Like, you look, I know for a fact that, you know, with going up, we're going to be losing some players. I know one player that's been linked from Worthing, he's going to in the Football League club. It's just yet to be announced. Managers, like you look, Adam Hinchwood, if he starts doing a journey again this season, is he going to be tempted by somewhere else? I know that clubs have come in for him before. Is he going to be tempted to go somewhere?
I think, obviously, we've had Hinch on it, and that's the only real interaction I've had with him. I think he is a local lad managing a local side in the National League South. I think if he gets the backing from the board and they're performing, I think he'll stay. I think he'll give it. I think this season, if they do well, I think he'll give it this season, in my opinion. I don't know him as well as you guys do. But
I can't see him walking away like just like that. No. But I can't remember. Is he got maybe 2 more years left on his contract, I think, that he signed with Wave? I think he signed, was it before this season he signed 3?
Yeah,
or was
yeah
it
you're right.
Before?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so he's got 2.
It was but just summer, just gone, yeah, wasn't it?
I mean, I think when so you see what he's built at Worthing, though, with the academy and everything else through there, it seems that a lot of managers these days actually like that idea of a project, you know, like similar to what Worthing have done. You look at Neil Smith going in at Cray on a 2-year deal. He's only taken that a step below because of what Cray want to build, exactly the same route as Worthing have gone down. And when you look at a couple of others that have done interviews the last few weeks and that as well, they're looking actually at a longer term project than being at a club for a couple of years. Mm. They're looking the 5-year, you know, plan of what can I build in that time. And that seems to excite him a little bit more. Whether that lost 2 years has made a few of them reflect and think, I don't just want to jump from job to job. I want to actually build something. And then when I've finished, I can look back and go, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, well, look at what Mitch said. He wants to model Littlehampton and Worthing and sort of look at the youth set up and the academy. And like, you know, and it's like the comment I said to him, look at Worthing 5, 7, 8 years ago, they were getting 200-300 people down there. And look at the job they've built. The ground looks great. You know, they've got a bigger support, all because it's been run sensibly and run in a good way. You know, whether Littlehampton can do that at that current ground, I don't know. But if they want to model themselves on Worthing, then it's a good project that, you know, Mitch is going to take on with George.
Yeah, I think George has done wonders for Worthing Football Club. Don't get me wrong.
George
Dow has done wonders. But actually, the result, George can't affect the results on the pitch. The results on the pitch have come purely from what Hinch has done with the youth team upwards into the academy, into the first team. And you look at how many players he's brought through in the time that he's been there. I mean, how old is Jasper? Is he, what, 19, 20?
He's just turned 20, yeah.
So I don't know how long he's been at Worthing, but I'm guessing Hinch has had an input in his
coaching. He was released from Brighton, I think, at 15 or 16, and that's when he joined Worthing.
So he's pretty much had Hinch coaching him for a majority of his senior career. and look at the
Ryan Junior, because he came from Brighton. He was his coach at Brighton as well.
Yeah, there you go. I think that it's testament to Hinch that actually the success that Worthing have had is not just down to George Dow, who has done wonders for Worthing Football Club. Like I say, I'm not trying to put what George has done down, but I think, yeah, Hinch has got a lot, deserves a lot of credit. And I think the people, the fans of Worthing, those 1,200, 1,500 fans, if he did go, it would be really sad to see him go.
Oh, yeah. It'd be sad to see anyone move on, because it's such a great team, a great squad and a great club at the moment. And these things will change. These things don't last forever. But you look at what he wants to do, the plan, and George wants to push for national.
Yeah,
let's get to national. Let's push for a national, see what goes. Because the town, I think, looking, someone put a share up, like we're such a big town in terms of population that hasn't got a professional football club. It's quite
weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we know that if Worthing want to push to become an EFL club, then they would not be able to use Woodside as a ground. So, you know, and I know from talks that they always are keeping these thoughts in the back of their mind. It's not in the forefront, but they have, you know, there are, I guess, as any well-run club, you've got to look at a five-year plan, 10-year plan. You know, where do you want to be? Because are they going to invest a lot of money in a current stadium where they may have to move out of in 5-10 years' time? Or are they going to like paint over the cracks and just keep it going? Or are they going to look for somewhere new? Look at Hastings. They just had their planning application. Surprisingly, for quite a small ground, for the amount of people they've been getting in, because I think the capacity 1,500 they're doing in this new stadium, but they've been getting 2,000-3,000 people.
I think it's got quite a lot of room for development around it, though, hasn't it?
It has, Lane? Yeah. So, but yeah. I would have thought almost straight away they would have gone for a couple of thousand at least.
I think it depends it depends. Sometimes you go for something too big, council go, nah, not interested in that. You go for something slightly a bit smaller, and they'll go, oh, yeah, that's fine. And then you can slowly build it up from that, because you can justify, you know, it from there.
I know that's what Johnny said when he was on the podcast before with Horsham and his job as commercial manager. Like the ground around Horsham has got plenty of scope for.
Yeah,
it's a weirdly designed ground. I've always said that. I know you guys agree with me, having the clubhouse bang behind the goal where it is. It should have been on the corner. Even Johnny said he didn't like the way they've done that. He wish thinks it should be on a corner or set back slightly so they could get a bit more fans behind that goal. But, you know, another club that, you know, they want to go places and, you know, they'll have the room to do that with expansion. And that's the problem that clubs like Worthing don't have. They haven't, I mean, there's a bowls ground behind, which I'm sure if they wanted to and the price was right, you could end up seeing being purchased by the football club, but that ain't going to be cheap, especially land nowadays that can be used for housing and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, but it is difficult. The higher you go up, the harder it is to then, you know, move everything else with it as well, your facilities.
But you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. There'll be lots of changes over the summer, you know, with clubs and, you know, signings. I mean, as Trev said earlier, the EFL signings won't be able to start happening until the end of June. Am I right in saying
that's when they're out of contract? Yeah, they can some sign pre-contracts, but a lot won't allow them to be announced until July 1st. I think National League players would have been out of contract the end of May. So a few of those will start eking through and have done the last few weeks, but it depends as well. Some clubs are quite happy for it to go out. Some others are like, nah, you can wait until July 1st. So you sort of see bits and pieces and odds and sods.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to. I say I'm looking forward to pre-season, but unfortunately, Worthing's pre-season fixtures are a bit underwhelming in my opinion. Like they're not the best. So I think it's quite decent.
To be honest, compared to some,
like Bognor and Horsham, why do we want to play them again? Like, you know, it's like, because it's not going to be the same.
Senior match, cup, yeah, help, you're not going to get in.
Helping out the smaller clubs in Sussex.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
yeah, but it's good. I mean, it's good relations, I suppose, in a way. If you think those were the two derbies you had last year that were always going to attract a lot of fans, you're not going to get it this year. A lot of people probably will turn up to just it being a pre-season friendly because it's Horsham and Bognor, but. You know, yeah, you've got two football league sides in there as well, in Swindon and Wickham. Worthing haven't played a lot of football league sides the last few years I've been going to watch. So it's something different. I've looked at some other clubs and I'm like, kind of almost, is that all you've got? I mean, this year I was dying to get to pre-season games just to watch some football again. But this year I'm back to the, do you know what, I'm only going to go if it's got some kind of interest for me personally, for someone I know that's part of the opposition or something like that. Like, for example, when Wickham come down to Worthing. The goalkeeping coach at Wickham's, Lee Harrison, who's an ex-Barnet keeper who I spoke to, was one of my lockdown videos a couple of years ago. And obviously because obviously Wickham are a slightly smaller club, their coaching staff do a lot of scouting as well. So trying to catch up to get to go to a game with Lee last year was impossible. Whereas he's coming to Worthing, so we can sit and have a beer then rather than like try and, you know, meet up at the Hive or somewhere like that. Yeah, just because you ain't got many friends, Gaz, you know, it's just one of those things, mate. But but things like that, you know, I mean, I've got a few managers I know have changed clubs this year. The guys who are at Tunbridge Wells have just gone to Whitstable. Steve McKim's now at Carshalton instead of Tunbridge. And for me, it's important to keep in with these guys because they give you material.
Talking about Carshalton, I did notice on the backs, a few of the backs in a non-league paper, they were advertising Carshalton for with weird, like, did you see the adverts? We looked a few weeks ago on the back page and stuff. It was like something like, it had all these things like people leader, team player, ? carshaltonathletic.co.uk. So it was obviously they were looking for their manager.
I don't know. Steve's been in a few weeks. I know it's a very well run club. Very well run.
Yeah, this was quite a few weeks ago. This was like when Worthing were winning the league and stuff. It was on the back page, like just after because their manager stepped down.
Yeah, well, ironically, he's a director of football at Carshalton, but manager at Mersham. Peter Adingyeni, I think his name is, which is really, really odd, I thought.
I would have thought that's a conflict of interest.
No, because Mersham are a league below, so it doesn't matter. If they were the same division, it would be.
What, they didn't get relegated?
Yeah, Mersham went down. Step 4.
Oh, well, of course they did. They went down, didn't they? Yeah. Well, I forgot about that because they were always that team that sort of hung around there. Yeah, they did go down, didn't they?
Which is a bit weird.
Don't need to worry about these step 3s and step 4s anymore, do I?
Of course you do, mate. You're on a non-league podcast. But that's one of the questions, like, you know, when I get to speak to Steve to ask him how that kind of thing works. Because, like I say, you've got the two clubs. Again, it might be beneficial in terms of, like, any players that are too good for Mersham at step 4 might find their way to Carshalton. Vice versa for Carshalton wanting, you know, players out on loan for match fitness. So
very true.
It's
an interesting thing. Yeah, and we'll see plenty of more changes over the summer, I'm sure, with players and managers and clubs doing bits and bobs. Yeah. And it's going to be exciting and, you know, getting ready for the new season. But I think that kind of starting to become the end of episode 34. Of our end of season finale, the Premier Non-League podcast, I think a nice managed to ramble an hour or so, haven't we? Without the other two part timers, I can't really talk because I have had part timers to say I've been a part.
You have a little bit, haven't you? Yeah, ever present as usual.
Well, Trevor's literally the only one with that title now, so he can't. He's going to use that to his advantage, and then the one time he can't make it, we'll just all have to like lay into him. Am I right, Gaz? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Fine by me.
Yeah, cool. Crack well, on, you, boys, two have been, you two have been bickering like little old married couple in the group. You're almost as bad as me and Pete on that group today. Guys, we're going to have a couple of specials hopefully this summer. So keep an eye out on the socials and on the airwaves. Please, as we say every episode, like as I said at the beginning, you guys who are listeners have been obviously interacting and sharing with us because we see it on our Facebook stats. And it might only be a few thousand for us, but that's just amazing that we're hitting that amount of people. So if you could share, as Peter Crouch says, pass the pod. If you share that to one person, listen to this Premier Non-League podcast, we could get another 5,000 people listening. It'd just be amazing. I mean, we love the comments we get from, we've got a loyal bunch of listeners, it seems. We've got a handful of people that literally always interact with us on Twitter and social media, and it's great to hear. But pass them on to your friends, because we'd love to get more and more. And you know, if you want to get involved, like, we're still looking for a Midlands correspondent that Pete never bothered, because every time he goes up, he just has too many beers. he's not here to say, oh, stop it this time. But what do we think, like, guys? It's like, it'd be great to have a Midlands correspondent, wouldn't it? Someone around the Midlands area. So if you are interested, get involved.
Even somewhere else, the southwest of England, or, you know, somewhere perfect. Towards northwest England, anywhere.
Or
really.
Maybe, you never know, we could have a Scottish non-league lover.
Or Welsh, yeah.
We are Britain's Premier Non-League podcast. We're not England's, so we don't know anything about Scottish or Welsh non-league. I mean, I went to see Barry Town a couple of years ago, but they were in the Welsh Premier. But they do have a coverage in the non-league paper for some reason, don't they? So I guess they're kind of classed as non-league. But it's been another good season, guys. So thanks for your company. We've had a lot of fun. We've had some great guests on. We'll have some plenty more of those to come. And as I said, keep an eye out. We'll hopefully have one surprise. Might be a nice surprise coming on the podcast as a special. He isn't red. He's another colour, possibly. Work that out. And he's a... Chris rolling his eyes, but he's looking all confused. I'm not going to sit out. Let the
I know.
It's not been confirmed yet either, so I don't want to say anything too much, but hopefully he'll be on. Guys, any final thoughts from you before we wrap up?
No, well, 8 weeks. Well, 6-7 weeks till the season starts. That's it. That's all you got.
Not wrong.
Enjoy your summer. If you can.
Just a quick shout out to Bromley for £97 season ticket.
Good shout.
Yeah, that was very good marketing. Mm. Have they released figures of how many people took them up on that offer?
No, all I see is complaints on Twitter that they haven't had a confirmation email, anyone that's bought one at the moment.
Brilliant.
If you're getting told by the club, you just go in and check your transaction history. If there's transaction complete, then you've got one.
Oh, that's going to cause problems. So great marketing could equal rubbish marketing if they're not too careful there.
Yeah, Ticketmaster again by the looks of things from what I've seen.
Oh, really? Ticketmaster. But anyway, chaps, thanks again for a great season. I look forward to, we'll be back probably just, well, we'll be back before, obviously a couple of specials over summer, but pre-season, we do one before the season starts, I think, with some catching up and stuff to do, and talk about our pre-seasons, and then we'll be back into the full swing every couple of weeks on the Premier Non-League podcast. But myself, James, Jazz and Trev, have a great summer. Hopefully another full season of football next year, and we can say goodbye to COVID as we leave it in the dust. That's all. Good night.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.